Sabbath observance. It has, for many people, a rather negative ring to it, doesn't it? For many, it conjures up pictures of dreary afternoons. Granda dozing in front of a fire. Children not allowed to do anything that even resembles fun. Not a happy day. And people make fun of Sabbath keeping. And certainly in the last number of years, there has been a great decline in Sabbath keeping. That's blatantly obvious, I'm sure, to us here in the middle of the town. No longer do all the shops close. No longer does almost everyone go to church. No longer does everything seem to stop. No longer is it a peaceful and a different day. And more, the Lord's Day is being brought into line with other days. And there is this great confusion in the world regarding this day. Not only in the world, but there is also, I believe, a great confusion and a great misunderstanding amongst Christians regarding God's special day. And perhaps you're here this evening and you're not a Christian yet. And you're already shutting down inside. How irrelevant, you think. This has nothing to do with me. Perhaps you're here this evening and you're a Christian and you're thinking exactly the same. Oh, please, the Sabbath. How old-fashioned, how stuffy, how dreary. But friends, when you become a Christian, Jesus doesn't simply become your Saviour, he becomes your Lord. And your allegiance is first and foremost to your Lord Jesus. He's your King. And you will agree with me, won't you, that his Lordship, it extends over everything in your life, over all of our days, and over all of our activities. There's no area of our lives over which he does not claim lordship. So this matters. The Lord's Day. It matters. It matters where we're to stand in regards to the Lord's Day. It matters what we believe and practice in regards to the Lord's Day, especially when the world around us and increasingly the church around us seems to make no distinction between Sunday and Saturday. And what we have this evening in these first three verses of Genesis 2, they are the very foundation stones upon which all of scriptural teaching on the Sabbath rests. It rests on these three verses. And significantly, we will see that the idea of the Sabbath is as old as creation itself. In the Ten Commandments, recorded in Exodus 20, we were reading from them, the Sabbath is linked to creation. Fourth commandment, it's the longest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. This is tremendously important, friends. The example of God in Genesis 2 becomes the basis of the fourth commandment. The example of God in Genesis 2 becomes the basis of the fourth commandment. Some people say that if the Sabbath principle is merely part of the law of Moses, well, then it's no longer binding today. But we see this evening, don't we, that the Sabbath was before the commandments. We can trace it back to creation. And so it's universally significant for us. It's what we call a creation ordinance. A creation ordinance. Alongside marriage and work, the Sabbath is a creation ordinance. It means that it's not just something for believers. God didn't just give it to his people, but it's for all people. All men and women have this continually binding duty to keep this day. We all need the rhythm of a Sabbath rest, because that's the way God made the world. And the subject of the Lord's Day is a vast subject. We could spend a whole series of sermons on the Lord's Day. That's something we might do sometime. This evening, we simply want to look at the first Sabbath on the history of our planet. The first Sabbath that there has ever been. This seventh day of the first week of creation. And from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, it was the seventh day that was appointed as the weekly Sabbath. But ever since the resurrection, the Sabbath has become the first day of the week. And so every Lord's Day, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And there are three things, and we can notice about this day, three things God did on this day from Genesis 2. Firstly, the Lord's Day is a rest day. It is a rest day. We see that in verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. God rested on this day. Now, perhaps that seems a little strange to us. God rested. Does that mean God was tired? Did God have to have a little nap? Well, Isaiah 40, verse 28 tells us, he does not faint or grow weary. He is not like us. God did not rest because he was exhausted. That's why we rest. God did not need to rest. He's never weary. He knows no fatigue. So why did he rest? Well, let me suggest three reasons. He rested, firstly, to declare that his work as creator was complete. To declare his work as creator. To declare that that was complete. The word rest here is important. It's the word from which we get our word Sabbath. Sabbat. It means to cease or to stop. And by his resting, God was declaring that his work was complete. There's nothing more that needed to be created. No new creature, no new plant, no new mountain range was needed. God's work was complete, entire, perfect. His resting means that by the end of day six, he had finished his creating work. His work of creation was finished. And so we worship and we acknowledge him as the creator of a completed work. So that's the first reason. He rested to declare his work as creator was complete. A second reason, perhaps, he rested to express his delight in his creation. To express his delight in his creation. In Exodus 31, verse 17, we read, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And was refreshed. And this word refreshed, again, it doesn't mean he needed to re-energize himself. This was a refreshment of joy in all that he did. A contemplation of the beauty and the perfection of his work. Look back to chapter 1, verse 31. He looked at it all and he saw that it was very good. Not just good, but very good. And he rested. It's a statement of his satisfaction, his delighting in creation. But this resting, it's more than ceasing, and it's more than delighting. Much more than that. If we miss this point, well, we will never understand the Sabbath day. The third reason, perhaps the main reason, why God rested was to picture the rest that he would provide his people. It was to picture the rest that he would provide for his people. This rest was a picture of the rest that Adam and Eve would have entered into without dying if they had passed the test in the garden. But in God's grace, the fall, it didn't cancel this eternal rest. After the fall, God renewed the offer of life, and this offer of rest still stands through the obedience of a second Adam, the Lord Jesus. And through Christ, there is still a way to enter this rest. So this rest on day 7, it pictures the eternal rest of all of his people in Christ. Hebrews 4 verse 9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And friends, since this day points towards a Sabbath rest in heaven, we should be looking forwards to this rest in heaven. We should be looking to where it's pointing. In heaven, we shall rest. We shall rest from all of our labor in the perfection of God's work forever. And so every time God's day comes around, we should say, I believe there's a heaven. We should rejoice in anticipating this Sabbath rest of heaven. And I wonder, friend, do you have this anticipation yourself? What do you anticipate after you might die? Do you anticipate this Sabbath rest, this great rest in heaven? Do you have this confident anticipation for yourself? This rest, it's only possible in the Lord Jesus. The Lord's Day is a rest day. We should rest on this day. We should rest on this day. I don't think it's possible, nor do I think it's helpful for us to draw up a list of do's and don'ts, things we should do, things we shouldn't do on this day. But we can ask ourselves helpful questions about our Sabbath activities that might help us to rest and enjoy this day. For instance, is what I do on the Lord's Day necessary? Is it necessary? Or is what I do in the Lord's Day an act of mercy to others? The Bible sanctions these two categories of work on the Sabbath. Works of necessity, works of mercy. So let's ask ourselves, friends, is this thing necessary? Or can it easily be postponed to another day? Is this thing, is it going to be of benefit to others? Is it an act of mercy towards others? If it's not necessary, if it's not of benefit to others, can we not keep it for another day? This Lord's Day, it's a rest day. Now, saying that, it's not a day for inactivity. The Catechism warns us of profaning the day by idleness. Is it a day for doing nothing? In heaven, we won't be doing nothing. Somebody has said, there are activities appropriate to the Lord's Day, and they are the activities that are appropriate to heaven. It's a day of rest. Rest for weary bodies and minds. It's also a day of participation. Participation in public and private worship. We can take part in restful time with family, restful time spending, enjoying God's creation. The Catechism also talks of a holy resting all the day. And by God's resting, he not only stopped the work of creation. He not only delighted, but he was pointing to heaven. How can we not enjoy the Lord's day if we spend it looking forwards to heaven? If we spend it looking forwards to heaven, how can we not enjoy it? How do you think we will enjoy heaven if we don't enjoy this day? It's a rest day. That's the first thing we see of this day in Genesis 2. The Lord's day is a rest day. The second thing, it is a blessed day. It is a blessed day. Verse 3, so God and God blessed the seventh day. This word, the meaning of the word blessed, it can be understood from its opposites. What's the opposite of the word bless? Well, it's the word curse. What does the word curse mean? To be cursed by God is to be out of his favor. It means to be outside of his friendship, subject to his judgment if you're under his curse. Well then, to be blessed, on the other hand, that's to be in a special relationship with him. To be the object of his unique favour. And so in a sense, from the very outset, God made one day in seven to be different, to be unique. And we can go further, because when we read that he blessed it, that means that he appointed it as a blessing to human beings. It's a gift. It's a present. When we read he blessed it, it means he made it to be a means of grace. By setting apart one day in seven, God was not so much thinking of himself, but of his people. He constructed it as a vehicle of power and blessing. The Lord's Day, it's a channel, a pipe down which God's love and goodness and strength flow from heaven straight into our lives. This day is a source of help to us, and we should feel gratitude and appreciation for it. We should look forwards to it with joy. We should spend it in joy. We should remember it with joy. In Mark 2, verse 27, we read amazing words. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made for man. What a wonderful description of this day. God has made this especially for us. Out of everything that he made in creation, he has made a whole day for us. He's made it because he's a good God, a loving God. He wanted to give us something that would be of benefit to us. It's a blessed day. How different this view is from the popular view. For the world, the Sabbath day, it isn't a gift, it's a curse, it's a boring day. It's a tedious day, it's a day to be endured for so many. It's a burden, and they have such a great distaste of this day. And perhaps that's a good test of our own hearts, of whether we're truly in Christ or not. How do we view this day? Do we consider it to be a blessing? Is it a day that we look forwards to and enjoy? Is that something, you parents, that you impress upon your children? Or is it a day that drags by for you? Is it a day full of frustrating restrictions, do's and don'ts? Is it a day that you dread? Friends, is it a day that your children dread? God calls us through Isaiah 58, 13 and 14, to positively enjoy God's blessed day, taking delight in it. It's not just what we do and what we don't do that's important. But it's our attitude, it's our affection for the day that's important. For God's people, there ought to be an element of happiness and pleasure in this day. It's a happy day. It's a special day. It's a blessing. Is that how you view it? The Lord's Day is a blessed day. Then thirdly, the Lord's Day is a holy day. Verse 3 again. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He made it holy. He sanctified it. Will we ask, how can a day be made holy? You may know that the word holy means to be separated, to be set apart. And it has a negative and a positive side to it. Separated from something to something. A bowl, a dish, or a table could be holy, and it was separated from common use to the use of God. Special, set apart, holy. A place could also be holy, where prayer or sacrifice might have been offered. It was separated from common use to the use of God. A person could be set apart from normal activities and pastimes to the use of God. That's the same with this day. A holy day is a separate day, a different day, a distinct day, a unique day, a day that is different from all the others, a day that's in a category of its own. It's not like the other days. It's not to be regarded like the other days. It's a holy day. It doesn't mean the other days aren't special. But this one is especially special. It's holy. This is the first time the word holy appears in your Bibles. And it describes this day. Only one day in seven, declared to be a separate day. And so we keep it holy. We keep it separate too, not just because it's good for us to have a day of rest, although it is very good for us physically and mentally and all. We keep it not just so that we can meet together for study and for worship, although that is a good thing too. But we keep it in imitation of our God. God treated it as a special holy day, and so do we. Do we? Do we treat it as a special day? We prepare for special days, do we not? A wedding day. It involves weeks, months of planning and preparation. Your first day at a new job, you prepare for that. Marathon runners, they prepare for their big day. Sabbath, it's our most important day of the week. Do we prepare? We should plan for it. We should prepare ourselves. We should prepare ourselves so that we're not exhausted when it comes to the Lord's Day. Sometimes we're so exhausted that we can't be fed. Maybe some of you parents, you can think of your children. And they can sometimes be so exhausted, so tired that whenever they're eating or they're being fed, that they fall asleep in their high chair or in your lap. I'm sure there are some embarrassing pictures about it. Is that the case on the Lord's Day, that we're so exhausted that we can't be fed from the Word of God? Do you come to the Lord's Day suffering from a lack of sleep? Do you come to worship with the intention of having a little nap? Friends, the battle for blessing on the Sabbath is won or it is lost on the Saturday. Richard Baxter said this: go seasonably to bed that you may not be sleepy on the Lord's day. Prepare also on the Lord's day. Don't lie in bed until the last minute, and it's complete mayhem trying to get out of the house. It's a holy day. Do you prepare? As it's a holy day, what we do on this day should be conducive to holiness. It should spur us on in our own holiness. Our activities should foster holiness in our lives and conduct. What we do on this day should draw us closer to God, closer to heaven. It's a good test of our activities on the Lord's day. Is this something that will help me to know Jesus better? Is this something that will help me hate my sin? Is this something that will deepen my desire to be holy? This day is a holy day. Now, in all this, friends, it's vital that we avoid legalism. Trying to keep this day doesn't make us right with God. It doesn't. And perhaps for some, Sabbath keeping isn't out of delight, but simply mere practice. We must be very careful to avoid the legalism of the Pharisees. We must also be careful not to look down our noses at other Christians who maybe have different ways of preserving the Sabbath day. Different ways of preserving the Sabbath day. Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. We're forbidden from passing judgment on others regarding a Sabbath. Now, let's be careful. Paul's argument there isn't that there shouldn't be a Sabbath keeping. He's not saying there shouldn't be a Sabbath keeping. He's saying there shouldn't be judging regarding Sabbath keeping. It would be quite out of biblical character for anyone to draw up a list of do's and don'ts. That misses the point of this day entirely. One day in seven. I've used this to try and explain it to the children. If somebody, imagine somebody gave you £7,000. Stretch that imagination. Somebody gives you £7,000. All they ask is that you give them £1,000 back. They just want £1,000 of it, and you can have the other six. You have £6,000. It's a no-brainer. You'll give them the £1,000 if you can have the £6,000. God just asks for one day in seven. He gives us six other days for our daily work. He asks so little when he wants one day for himself. How could we begrudge the Lord his Sabbath when he's given us six other days? He rested. He blessed. He made this day holy. We should do likewise, friends. The Lord's day is the King's day. It is the day on which we gather at the King's house with the King's people. It is the day on which we hear the King's voice speaking to us from the King's word. We sing the King's praise. We dedicate ourselves to the King's service. We receive encouragement in the King's presence. And ultimately, that's what our study is all about this evening. Is the Lord of this day the Lord of our lives? Is he your Lord? Is he your Saviour? Do you have any personal knowledge of this King? If so, then the prospect before you is that you will dwell in his eternal rest forever and ever. Maybe as you listen, you have not entered that rest of which this day speaks, and you have no anticipation of it. Well, friend, through this very day that God has given to you as a gift, he's telling you, he's pointing. It's a great picture of this, the rest in heaven. And he tells us how to enter in through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And if that's your hope, friends, then it's your privilege to anticipate this rest every single week. So let us thank God for this day. Let us resolve more and more to spend it in anticipation of the greatest Sabbath of all, our eternal and heavenly rest. Amen.